Let's give it up for Prophet and his beautiful wife this morning. You can do much better than that. Amen. Well, God bless you. May take your seats. It's such a great honor to be here this morning with you. And I'm believing God really for a touch of his spirit upon everyone here this morning. And in the second session, we'll pray for you and lay hands upon you and minister to you as the Lord, you know, lays on our hearts. But Prophet Andre, I love you so much. You're my friend. You know, we can say prophet and pastors, but when you say somebody's your friend, that's very close. So thank you for being my friend. Above the titles and the ministry, thank you just for being my friend. And you, Zandia, to Lillian as well. You know, we love both of you so very much. And every prophecy you've prophesied over my life and over the church and over my children came to pass. So you have to come back and prophesy more because everything is now done. So, but really, you are a true prophet. I honor you as a prophet in this nation and around the world. We have very few prophets in our nation. And what I love about you is that you're authentic. You don't charge for prophecies and levels and stuff. So thank you for just being who you are. I really appreciate that. And I said to him, what you've built here is incredible. I've not seen this anywhere in the world where people will drive hours to be nowhere and then have an encounter with the Lord. Amen. So you're at the right place at the right time. Continue to do this. Never stop doing this. Never give up this place for the sake of money. Just walk in the presence of God. God has need of this. And I believe God is going to raise up more of these things in our country. Amen. So I honor you. I love you. Honor you, Pastor Zandia, for who you are in our lives. We love you as a friend, as just being who you are. I always love speaking to her and just being around her and Lillian. It's just, she's just Zandia. That's just like how you are on the platform and off the platform is the same. She's a true lady. And I honor you and respect you for that. Amen. Let's put it up for them again for the last time. Well, it's new season. So, it's going to be a new season for you as well, in the name of Jesus. There's a difference between times and seasons. Times, and this is not my message, I just want to just get you to the place what's going to happen this morning, that you're going to exit time and enter season. And time, in time, things are frustrating. In time, times, things take a long time to establish. In your time of your life, you have to work very hard. In the time of your life, you have to put effort in. But when the season comes, time no longer exists. So let me give you an example here. Jesus was in his time for 30 years. But when his season came, in 3.5 years, he did more than in 30 years. So, when your season comes, time is out of your life. And this is what I believe for you today, that you're going to enter into your season. And in your season, things are easy. In your season, acceleration comes. In your season, here's a couple of things. You are in demand. So, let's use a rugby player. For years, he'll be in his time. He'll play for the college, and then he'll play for university, and then there's a scouter sitting in the pavilions, and they check that guy. And they take him out of his time, out of his preparation, and they say, now you're going to play for the Blue Bulls or Sharks or whatever. And they take him out of the time of preparation and put him in his season. And then when he's in his season, there's another scouter that scouts him for the Springbok squad. And when he's in the Springbok squad, he's now in demand. Now his salary change. Now he's no longer being paid as a college student. He's now in demand. So they'll say, come and play for us. Well, I'll come for $100,000, you know, if you want me or not. Ronaldo All these guys, they can charge whatever they want because they're in their season. When season hits your life, you become a person of demand. Your business is in demand. Your ministry is in demand. Your function under a different anointing. And when you are in demand, in demand, you can command. And so may that season hit you this day. In the name of Jesus. Your time of preparation and of struggling and of surviving and of just making it is going to come to an end today in the name of Jesus. Shout, I'm entering into my season. How many of you are ready to go into your season? Let me just see. That means the presence of God comes upon you. Things is just moving in a direction. It becomes effortless. When you are in your season, things are effortless. Church growth is effortless. We have all the challenges, but it's effortless. Blessings come, contracts come, because you are in a position of the seasons of God. And that's why I feel this conference is so prophetically put together, that people are not going to enter into just, oh, that was a great conference. You're going to have a season coming upon you. And you're going to walk in that supernatural season in the name of Jesus. So get ready for your business to be transformed and your church to be transformed, your ministry. And in season, restoration takes place and acceleration takes place. And I release that upon your life in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak in this first session on the four dimensions of the supernatural. And then in the second session, we will start coming in for a close. So, what is the supernatural? The supernatural is above the natural. Okay, so you have the natural world, and then the super comes above that. So in the natural, you'll pay 20 years off on your home loan. In the natural, you have a 5-year deal on your car. In the natural, you have to pay 12 months off on a credit card. In the natural, there's debts to be paid, whatever. But when the supernatural comes above, on top of that, it literally removes the time out of that equation. And so things that would have taken 20 years now is accelerated and can happen in 12 months, can happen in a day, can happen in 24 hours. And I've seen when the supernatural power of God starts flowing into a place that everything that is on hold is like released. And things starts happening very quickly in the supernatural, because in the supernatural there's no time. God doesn't operate in time. So when we say, "Oh, time heals everything," it's not right. Time, my watch, I've never laid my watch on anyone to heal them. It's the power of God that heals people. It's by the anointing we heal people. Yes, time, if I say don't heal, it's this restoration, we understand all those things. But time can't do anything. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to come upon you and to bring that acceleration in your life. So in the dimension of God, in the dimension of the supernatural, there's not 24 hours, 12 hours. God doesn't work like that. I thank God for that. Because as you sit here, God can work in somebody's heart in Australia or in China or in America to bless you. He doesn't work banking hours. Thank God he doesn't work First National Bank hours and APSA hours. He's God. He works in the realm of the supernatural. I have seen in our meetings that people's debts are paid in the meeting on a Saturday or on a Sunday when it's not even time for people to do stuff. But when the supernatural comes upon people, things start happening that shift your mind because God is in that dimension. That's why I'm so confident to say that when the supernatural is going to come upon you in a couple of minutes, is that everything that's on hold will be released. And you start walking out of this time capsule into the realm of God, into the seasons of God. And things just start happening. I've seen church growth upon churches in 7 days went from 7 people to 1,000 members from one Sunday to the next Sunday. Because we can either say, oh, okay, you know, it's going to take 10 years. You're stuck in time. Next year, this time, stuck in time. Why not now? The same God that's going to do it next year can do it now. There's no difference. So you have to learn how to flow with the supernatural power of God. So it's above time, it's above space, and it's above matter. We understand those things. So when God starts moving, things start happening, like deaf ears can open. You know, we say, oh, a deaf ear open. Do we really understand the power of that? Like an eardrum has to be formed. Muscles had to be formed. Cells had to be put in place. Everything had to work just to get that eardrum open. You know, and that's the power of God. And so we have to understand that when a miracle takes place, it is really a supernatural thing. It's really a powerful thing. When John Wesley prayed for a person, a piece of steel shattered his eyeball, and literally the pieces just fell off. He picked it up and put it back in the man's eyes, and the power of God starts forming the eye 100%. That is the power of God. We cannot just say, oh, the witches have it. No, the power of God is available for us. And we can do business in the supernatural realm. I'm going to teach you this morning. We can do church growth in the supernatural. We can do family life in the supernatural. We can be people of the presence of God. And we have to learn how to operate in this. I believe the end time church will have three things. It will be marked by the word of God. End time church will be marked by the word of God. We're going to have strong revelations coming. We're going to have strong word preachers standing up. And the second characteristic of the end time church, it will be the church of power. We have to have a demonstration of the power of God. There is a necessity for the power of God in the church today. I firmly believe this, and I hope I speak to everybody on this page, but I really believe this. There's coming a separation in the kingdom of God. You'll hear what I'm saying. There will be the lukewarm church, the five virgins without the oil and stuff, and there will be the church with the oil of God. It's going to be, you're going to see it clear. You know, it's like the 10 virgins, like I said. They all looked the same. They all dressed the same. They all had the same lamp. The only difference is five had oil and others had no oil. And I feel this to say to the pastors here this morning, if you're here, we cannot exclude the Holy Ghost from our churches. The church was birthed with the Holy Ghost. Right? Now we want to have church without the Holy Ghost. No, come and meet him in class 101 on Friday night. It doesn't work. The Holy Ghost, you'll have a dry, you'll have all the numbers, but no presence, nothing. People will come in dry, leave dry, and have a great coffee, but no lives are changed. You understand? The Holy Ghost. The Lord spoke to me this year. He says, reintroduce the church to the Holy Ghost. And I know it sounds simple, but I've been teaching on the Holy Spirit, and you cannot believe how many people in church don't even know the Holy Ghost. We don't even know him. I told him the Holy Ghost is a person. They're like, really? Yeah, he's a person. He's got a will, he's got a mind. And so you start teaching. And I really want to encourage you. Get to the place where we teach the Holy Spirit again. It's him that makes the difference. It's him that carries us in this end time. We cannot do life and ministry without the Holy Spirit. Prophet, I'm telling you, we're trying all these things without the Holy Ghost. It's just a great program. Believe me, I've tried all church models these and all church growth models, and I've tried the seeker sensitive, and I've tried everything. There's only one thing that grows a church, and that's the power and the presence of the Almighty God. You'll say, don't speak in tongues, people are going to walk out of the church. The Bible says the people that speak in tongues, it's the evidence, it's the characteristic to the unbeliever that there's a living God. So stop putting the Holy Ghost out there. He's the one that knows everything. And I really want to encourage you, teach on the Holy Ghost as the person of the Holy Ghost. Not as an it, not as a dove, not as a fire, not as a wind, but the person. Because the Holy Ghost is more real to me. Catherine Kuhlman said this, and when she said it the first time, I thought, okay, I don't understand it. But it became a reality to me. The Holy Ghost, she said, the Holy Ghost is more real to me than you sitting in front of me. I thought, work. Through the years, I understood that the Holy Ghost here where I'm standing is more real than you sitting in front of me. I feed him. I'm with him. Spoke to him this morning. He speaks to me while I preach. And the Holy Ghost is just there. The Holy Ghost, businessman, the Bible says the Holy Ghost will teach you how to make profits. And he knows all things to come. So that contract you sign, if you don't speak to the Holy Ghost, you'll sign a thing that they'll take everything from you. You'll lose your company. So you have to have the conversations with the Holy Ghost. I don't know why I'm speaking about this, but this is just the Holy Ghost telling me that we have to fall in love with the Holy Ghost. Fall in love with the Holy Ghost. Fall in love with the Holy Ghost. Let him become your best friend. Benny Hinn wrote that book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I just told the church now, you all have to get the book. I gave them as much as I can. And I train the church. Every morning when you wake up, say, Good morning, Holy Spirit. Let him become real to you. Like your husband, like your wife. He's my CEO. He's my senior pastor. He's my counselor. He's my comforter. He's my helper. He's my wisdom. He's my everything. How can we run this race without the Holy Ghost? It's impossible. We have to have an encounter once again, fall in love with Him again, of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, when He comes in power, comes in demonstrations, comes in manifestations. He can manifest any way He likes. So, the church of the end time will have the Word. It will have the power of the Holy Ghost. And here's my focus point for this morning. The third thing. The Holy Ghost, or the church of the end time, will be the church of His presence. And I want to speak about the presence of God for the next couple of minutes I have with you. The presence of God is what we need to see. So let's lay this foundation in this session. What are the four dimensions of the supernatural? Number one is faith. Faith, without faith we can't enter into it. Your faith opens that door. Faith gives you access into that realm of the supernatural. So if you don't have faith, it will be very difficult to walk in there. Now, you say, what type of faith do I need? Well, mustard seed faith, little faith. Just believe God. That contract is going to be signed. You know, I came here, I said to Prophet, when I arrived here, I really need a breakthrough in this one situation I have. I really need a breakthrough in this area. By last night, before I went to bed, we already have, I would say, 90% of the breakthrough. Probably today, tomorrow, we'll have the 100% testimony. But it came to the place where I said, Holy Ghost, I don't know how to deal with all these things. I really need you to help me, but I have enough faith to believe that God will do this miracle for me. And so by faith, we access the realm of the supernatural. By faith, we give. The 100 rand you gave is not opening the millions. It's the faith behind the 100 rand that gives you access to the debt cancellation anointing or to whatever that is. It's by faith we preach. By faith we minister. Reinhard Bonnke said this, if God doesn't move, I make Him move. I thought, that is like crazy. And you know, Reinhard Bonnke was a friend of my dad and in our house and all these things. And he said this, he said, if I feel God's not in the service, I'm going to make Him move. I'm going to call the blind eyes. All the blind people come here. He says, now God has to move. That is just how God doesn't, we make Him move. I'm going to give so that you move. I'm going to pray that you move. And you start placing a demand on that thing. So every dimension has a law, if I want to use a principle, that works with it. So faith works with the law, let me use that word, of expectation. Faith operates with expectation. When we tell you, or when you tell your church, say to the person next to you, today is going to be a great day. No, don't say that. I'm saying, if you tell your people, today is going to be a great day. What am I doing? It's not wasting time. Well, maybe you're wasting time. For me, it is, I'm creating expectation. Tell that person, it's going to be a great day. Now tell the other neighbor because that one is dead. You know, but eventually you start creating expectation. God's going to move here today. You know, so when I say God's going to move here, He's going to move. I've placed a demand on Him. Now I'm expecting Him to move. So faith operates by expectation. When I give, for instance, in faith, I expect my breakthrough. I expect that in Jesus' name. So faith operates by that. The second realm, I'm just going to go quickly through the first two, is the dimension of the anointing. And I love the anointing. And we all love the anointing. The anointing operates by supply and demand. So if you don't place a demand, the anointing doesn't flow. You know, there was a woman with the issue of blood. She placed a demand on Jesus. When she placed a demand, miracles start flowing. Then Jesus preached in another church place. Nobody placed a demand on him. He says, I could do no miracles here. I've prayed for people, and I feel like, you might as well just go and have coffee. You've got no expectation and no demand. When you place a demand on a gift, that's why when the prophet comes into place, you can feel the people who pulls from you. That guy wants a prophecy. That guy wants a prophecy. Why? Because it's a demand. Is that right? If there's no demand, your gift doesn't operate. You understand? The same with miracles. If there's no expectation or a demand, it's like just stagnant. Atmosphere is stagnant. So you can have the anointing, but you need to have a demand on that. Place a demand on the anointing. Place a demand on the gift that comes into your presence. Place a demand on the word of God. Place a demand on the things you want from God. You place a demand on that. Then the anointing starts flowing. And so, like I said, the anointing is precious. It's beautiful. But now I want to come to the next two. There are dimensions that the church has not entered into, us as believers. And that is, the third one is the glory of God. The glory of God. The Bible says that the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. So let's speak about this. We all know about the anointing. And do we really understand how the glory of God functions? And what is the glory of God? And how does it operate? If we don't understand it, you only can grow to the level of revelation you have. So if you want to have the glory of God revealed, you have to study the glory of God. So we teach, and there's nothing wrong with teaching everyday living and stuff like that. But the problem is this, is that the Bible says the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge, understanding of the glory of God. We teach people how to smile and how to do all these things. And there's nothing wrong, we have to do that. But here's the thing, are we teaching our people the glory of God? The realm of the glory. If we don't teach them the glory of God, they will be stuck in a level of faith. And we have so many great faith preachers and faith things, but we miss the realm of the glory of God. And I want to teach you in this realm how this thing operates of the glory of God. So you can leave today and enter your season of glory. In the realm of the glory of God. So, in the anointing, there's a couple of things you have to know about that, the difference. In the anointing, we heal the sick. We lay hands upon them. In the glory, sickness is not allowed. Doesn't come into that realm. In the anointing, we have to cast out demons. In the realm of the glory, when a demon walks into a realm of glory, they flee. You don't even pray for them. In the realm of the anointing, we believe for 10 people to be saved on a Sunday, 100 people to be saved on a Sunday. But in the realm of the glory, continents are saved. Cities are saved. Just like one person gets saved, so I believe a city can be saved. It's people. So we have to come to that place of that. In the anointing, we have to cut off demons and cut off giants' heads. In the realm of the glory, demons don't enter in. Deliverance takes place. Healing takes place. It's another dimension of the power of God. In the anointing, we get prosperous. In the realm of glory, we get wealthy. Philippians 4:19 says this, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches. Where? Not in the anointing. Not in faith. But in glory. And the reason why our needs are not met is because we don't understand glory. So we hang around in outer courts. And there's nothing wrong. Please understand. I'm not saying there's something wrong with faith. You need faith. You need the anointing. But there's another realm that the church needs to go into. And that's operating in the realm of the glory of God. In die heerlikheid van die Here. That dimension. We have to operate in that dimension. So that our needs can be met. So that we can heal the sick all over without even touching them. So in the anointing, I work for God. That's how it works. That's how it functions. John, come here, just come here quickly. Let me show you quickly here. Would you mind if I do use you? Just come here, the two of you. Sir. So, stand here. Just, yeah, you stand like this. In the anointing, please just hear me. I'm not blaspheming, but I'm using myself as God. God says to the anointed man, pray for him. He needs a miracle. So take your hand, put it on him. And the anointing I've given you flows through him into this man. That's the anointing. In the glory of God, God says, thank you so much. I'll take over. And God does the miracle. So man is not involved. Thank you so much. In the realm of the glory of God. You know, that's where we want to go. How do I enter into this realm? How do I get there? And so in this realm of the glory of God, I believe the first thing that we have to understand is the shalom of God, is the peace of God. In the glory of God, you cannot stress. You have to come into the peace of God. Operate in the shalom. The word shalom is not, you know, hey, peace, peace out. Shalom means prosperity, welfare, good relationship with God and people. So when Jesus said in John 14:27, this peace I leave unto you, the shalom I leave to you, peace, prosperity, welfare, I leave this for you. So how do I operate in this realm? I have to come into perfect shalom, perfect peace of God. When you work, God stops. When you rest, he works. Jesus healed the sick people on the Sabbath. A man 38 years paralyzed. He heals him on the Sabbath. And they say, how can you heal him on the day of rest? You know, how do you dare heal this person? They forget that 38 years he had no income, no family, nothing. He's just begging. Jesus heals him. They should have said, praise God. Here's somebody walking after 38 years. And he can now have an economy and he can have his family back. But they said, no, you healed him on the rest, on the day of rest. When you rest, he works. If you want to build your church, go ahead. If you want to build your company, go ahead. But when you do that from the place of, hey God, I'm coming in the rest of God. This church must grow. Here's the programs, but I am not going to have burnouts, and I'm not going to walk, not sleep at night, and I'm going to not worry about all these things. I'm going to come in the rest of God. You said you'll supply all of my needs. So that settles it. You said you'll send the people from all over, Isaiah chapter 60, to the rising of my glory. Let them come. Let the contracts come. Let the members come. And by the way, I think Apostle Alan said last night, the members in the churches, not one of us chose to be in that church. God chose people to be with you. They didn't, oh, it was a great ad. No. God chose them to be there. So every member in a church, God placed you there. I can't do anything more about church growth. If God gave me 2,000 people, then I'm happy with 2,000. If he gives me 30, then I'm happy with 30. It's what God has designed for my life. But I have to come into the rest of God. Because this thing of competition and performance-based Christianity, and that I am better than you and you better than this one, that must stop in the body of Christ. We are not celebrities and we are not performers, and God must perform, then we give him an extra 100 rand. Those things must stop. We must come to the place where we say, God, I rest in the glory of God. Performance-based Christianity has to stop. Come in the rest of God. Lord, here's my programs. But let your shalom come upon it. I still do my job. God is a God of management. I still manage the thing. But I do it from the place of rest. The glory of God cannot operate when there's stress, when there's self, all these things. The second thing I believe how the glory of God works is you have to have an understanding of the grace of God. I preached a message a couple of years ago. The Lord showed me that grace and glory are married together. You cannot operate in glory if you don't understand grace. It's a nod of an ear. Now, the grace of God is not getting saved. That's salvation. The grace of God is a person. You have to get to the place where you say, show me the grace of God. In 2007, I sat in a meeting. I came late in the meeting. I sat right in the back of the in Rhema. Went to go attend a conference there. And I came late. I sat right in the back. A man preached there. And he was coming to a close. He read one scripture. I think it was 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And then he started praying for the people. At that moment, that specific moment, I can take you to the chair that I sat in. The grace of the Lord appeared to me. Like stood in front of me. Because I thought grace is a subject. It's a topic. Something just for us sinners. But the next moment, John 1 stood in front of me. Grace came. The law was given, but grace came. A person came. And he stood right in front of me. And you know, Pastor, he didn't say anything. I just looked at this, the person of grace. I sobbed for, I think, 40, 45 minutes, just sobbed without even, didn't say nothing. But it was just a download of the grace of God. I went back, I took probably 2/3 of my messages, put it in a file, wrapped a sellotape around it. It's still somewhere in a box. And I said, I will never preach condemnation, laws upon the people of God. I had to repent before God that I placed so much legalistic stuff upon people. Because the grace of God, when the grace of God comes, not a topic, the person feel it. The grace of God, when it comes and touches you, you can never be the same. And we have to learn how to operate in the realm of grace. Grace and glory are married together. The grace of God. So when the grace comes, everything changes. When the grace of God appeared to me, when Jesus appeared to me as the person of grace, miracles started happening in our ministry that was countless. I remember sitting at one conference on a platform, and the Lord said to me, he says, if you're going to pray for the people, you'll see limited miracles. But if you allow me to move, you'll see thousands of miracles. Last year alone, in 9 weeks, we have seen 16,000 miracles. I did not lay hand on one of them. Just the grace of God touches people. And I want to say here this morning, in December, the Lord said to me, he says, there will be 3 weapons from the enemy that will come this year upon my people. And he said this, he says, will be condemnation, guilt, and shame. But I anoint you, anoint my people, to bring the opposite of that, grace upon them. Set my people free from condemnation. Set them free from guilt. Set them free from shame. And I want to say to every person here this morning that I set you free this morning from the spirit of shame and the spirit of condemnation and the spirit of guilt. May you rise up again in the name of Jesus. May you walk in the grace of the Lord. May you walk in the power of the Almighty God. May you have an encounter with the grace of God. Grace of God is sufficient for us. It's the grace of God that changes us, man. It's by the grace of God we see the miracles. People ask me all the time because we operate in miracles. It's like, why didn't God heal that person? Well, he didn't come really to heal people. He came to save those who are lost. And get them saved. That's the priority, not healing. Sorry to say that. But we like, okay, there's no healing, so there's no God. No. God saves people first. Yes, the miracles happen and the blessings come. But souls is number one. Jesus came to heal the broken heart. And even right now, I feel the anointing of, I feel grace coming into this place. That God's going to enable you to do grace ministry again. And that is, don't confuse it with motivational speaking. That's not what I'm speaking. I'm talking about the grace, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ touching people. When Jesus walked to that woman at the well, he sat down. meaning rest is now coming. And he said to her, you were five times married. The person you're living with now is also not your husband. And he touched her. She became the evangelist of a city. She turned the whole city upside down. But look at this. I want you to see this. Get this picture. Why didn't he tell her, go and that husband or that guy you're living with, you need to move out. You need to go and get yourself clean. Go through the three courses, and then you can become the evangelist. He didn't even tell her, move out. Because if she moved out, it would have been a disgrace for her boyfriend. Oh, is that the Lord? Is that how you Christians are? She came back in that room and says, I'm going to change the city. Her conviction of the grace of God came upon that man. And they changed the city. I'm setting shame. I'm setting people free here today of shame and condemnation. And you've messed up and you've done things. Listen, by the grace of God, I take you away out of your past. And today you must walk in the newness of the fullness of the presence of God. If you break your arm, we do the operation, we put you in a sling. One of my sons is here, a doctor, he'll tell you. Listen, in 6 weeks you'll be fine if you do all the physio. We don't take the arm and put it back here. Oh, you've messed up, go and sit there in the parking lot. We restore you in the position that you are. And we're going to get you back in the presence of God. And we're going to get you back to become a preacher and a businessman. Walk in the grace of the Lord this morning. I really sense it so strong. If you want the glory of God to operate, you have to allow the grace of God to come. Grace in ministry. Grace for the sinner. Grace for the believer. All the pastors in this house, can I just want to speak to you for a moment. The same God that forgives your members is the same God that forgives you. Because we have this thing, God forgives the members. But when you sin, it's burn your books. Go somewhere, do nothing. The same God that forgives your members is the same God that loves you and forgives you and helps you. And businessmen here this morning, walk in the grace of God. Do business in peace. Knowing He will supply. Knowing He will do the job. We work so hard and we lose our marriages. We lose our anointings. We lose our peace. Because ABC didn't pay the account. Your identity is not in a customer. And your identity is not in a client. Your identity is in Jesus. You're a son and a daughter of the living God. That will never change in your life. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. And you can operate in that realm of the glory. Jesus said this. He says, the glory the Father gave me, I give unto you. Operate in that realm. Are you with me, your church? We do ministry. I do business by the grace of God. Paul said, I'm here not of my own works, but by the grace. By the grace of God. And we have to understand how the glory works. I've just touched on two. We're going to break now, but I have to walk in the peace of God. I cannot get on a platform stressful. And believe me, I've got a lot of things going on. But when the peace comes, miracles start flowing. When the glory comes, the grace comes, God touches people all over. If I lay my hands on you this morning, I'm going back into the anointing. And people are addicted to the anointing. You must lay your hands upon me. I want your hand upon me. I want you to anoint me. No, get the glory of God. God says, thank you so much. I want to touch you. I want to touch you there in the back. I want to touch you there. Just where you sit, I'm going to touch you. Grace appears. Stop looking at me. Stop looking at the preachers. Let the grace of God manifest to you. Hallelujah. Shebra mandele brege soto lobo shandara bandai. It's the grace of the Lord that enables us to do these things. And I want to set you free from this religious works family. Because I was there. I know what I'm talking about. I grew up in a Christian home. Not a Christian, revival home. My dad was greatest revivalists of this country. And I've seen, we lived like that. We lived hours of prayer, 40 days of fastings. My dad burned televisions every Sunday. For real. Can't have the one-eyed demon in your house. Make a big fire every Sunday. Bring your TVs. No makeup allowed. I remember the first woman that came in out in the tent. She had red lipstick on and red cutex, and they called her Jezebel. Cast our demons out. Try to. Meantime, it's just Revlon. That's how I grew up. That's how I understood Christianity must be like that. I look at my dad's videos, and then people are getting on the platform, and a woman gets on, and she, her deaf ears open. So I show my kids. I said, check this miracle. So they check the miracle. Then I pause it. I said, how old do you think that woman is? And then they say, 45, 48. I play. How old are you? 17. Because they look like old people. But that was holiness. It had a glory. The Bible says this in Corinthians. It had a glory. The glory of the ministry of condemnation had a glory to it. You know, when my dad preached about the about hell, you smelled hell, you felt hell. It had a glory. But the ministry of righteousness exceeds the ministry of condemnation. Amen. So I grew up in that era of understanding that's how it looks. So I've preached a lot on the rules of Christianity. And I've placed so much condemnation upon people. And the Bible says this. He says, curse is the man that preaches like that. Not curse. He says, you'll be under God's curse. It's the only time a curse is mentioned in the New Testament is if you as a pastor preach condemnation, he says you'll be under God's curse. We have to preach the righteousness of God. Come into the place where I understand I'm in the righteousness of God. There's nothing I can do to impress God. He's only impressed by his son. And so for me it was difficult to come out of that thing of works. Because here's what happened to me. I would pray 3 hours, 4 hours before a service, get on the platform, and now God's going to move. And then there was a day that I couldn't pray. Plane was late, took me from the airport to the platform. Get on the platform, it's like, why is this atmosphere the most powerful atmosphere I've ever seen in my life? And miracles happen, and the Lord spoke to me, and he says, because it's not based upon your works. We have to pray. We have to fast. We have to give. But those things don't impress God. In the realm of the glory, works are filthy rags. So when I pray because I love Him. Not for God to move. His Spirit doesn't need me to move. Are you with me, church? I've prayed 3 hours. Now God's going to move. Really? His Spirit moves, whether you are there or not. Spirit is going to move. And allow the Holy Ghost. So I'm not negating, please understand, prayer and fasting and giving. But we have a problem in the body of Christ. And let me rather say, we have a problem in the dimension of the glory. In the anointing, things are probably allowed. But in the glory of God, I can't give to twist the arm of God. I've given my tithe. Now the Lord must bless me. Really? So you know. So great. God bless you in the realm of the glory. Supply all of your needs. Because you are obedient and allow Him to work. Come and play for me, guys. We're going to close. I feel that some of you are pushing back. Let me just say this. My prayer is not impressing God. My fasting doesn't impress God. My giving doesn't impress Him. It's what His Son has done. His Son impresses Him. And if I'm in Him, I impress God. Not my works. Not by the works we come, but by the grace and thy grace alone. We sing that song, yet we preach works. It's the works of the flesh and it's the fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. So let us come this morning. We're going to come back. We're going to break. And we're going to come back and I'm going to teach you a little bit more on the presence of God. That's the fourth dimension. And then we're going to have encounters with God. But I need to set us up because I don't want us to come expecting hands laid on me. I don't want you to come with that mentality. I want you to have an encounter with grace because I'm not grace. Amen. You can ask my wife. I'm not grace. The grace of God must come. Have an encounter with him. Don't have an encounter with Nicky Fanavistes. And we're going to have an encounter with that. And that happens in the realm of the glory. If I want to encourage you this morning, please lay aside the works. I've prayed, fasted, living holy. I've got no makeup on. God is like, I'm sorry. Do you want to operate like that? Do it on your own. When you rest, I'll work. And I've seen in our lives here, in the ministry, how the Lord has blessed the ministry at the times when I really just couldn't do it by myself. You know? Here's another thing for pastors. I would go to church and my wife and myself would have an intense discussion. Before I get to the church. I know that never happens in Mosselbaai, but with us, on the way to church, we would have intense discussions. Like, can't you just fight with me afterwards? Or why do you have to do this on the way to church? You don't respect the anointing upon my life. I'm a man of God. You have to respect me. Drive in your own car. That's how we think. I can have an intense discussion and get on the platform and it's like, miracles happen. God's like, I'm just showing you. When you're weak, I'm strong. And we can just get out of the way, I can touch my people. So I want to encourage you this morning. Just get out of the way, man. Let God come with His power. Let God come with His anointing. Let God come with His glory upon you. My prayer this morning was, Lord, just let us have an encounter with the glory of God. Let us have an encounter with the presence of God. And when we enter into the glory of God, listen, don't become a spectator. Because, you know, Peter, James, and John, they were standing on the mountain. Jesus, his clothes, his jacket changed. His beard changed. His hair changed. Everything changed. And they're like, let's build a church here. Guys, like, guys, the glory is here now. They walked from the mountain. And two chapters later, they denied Jesus. No, I don't know him. Who's Jesus? So if you just look at the glory, you'll never be changed. You have to step in. It's just like, okay, God, I've got no works here. I'm a mess. I don't even deserve to be in the presence of God, but here I am. And God comes. And He changes the robe of your life. You may have a robe of shame and whatever. God's going to change it this morning. Hallelujah. God's going to change your whole life. You are entering into a new season in the name of Jesus. Would you please stand with me all over this place and lift your hands? Those of you who can pray in the heavenly language, let's start praying in the heavenly language. Shobramande lebregendo lobo sandaya. Lebramakasata bagasoto togo sheke bremende lebesende lebegendo robo sandaya. To God be the glory this morning. To God be the praise. To God be the honor. To God be the majesty this morning. We exalt you this morning, living God. I want those who can pray in the Holy Ghost to go a little bit louder now. Just go a little bit louder. Sobra maseke talamazoto togo soko torobo sandala mandaya. Let your presence come, Holy Ghost. Let your glory fill this house. Not a house of man, not a house of bricks, of mortar, but my house, my spiritual house. Fill me with your glory right now, God. Come on, there it is. With every eye closed, we're going to go a little bit louder. You say, why? Because I have to come out of the natural. Let the reign of your Spirit now come. We put the works aside. We put the efforts aside.
We put our identities aside. We put our own abilities and accolades aside, oh God. And here we are. Here we are. Here I am, oh God. Just Nikki, not the apostle, not the father, not the man. Just Nikki is here before you this morning. Revive me again, oh God. Holy Ghost, become now real to your people in Jesus' name. Touch them. Touch their hearts. Touch their lives. Touch their families. Touch their ministries, oh God. Let's start singing a new song to the Lord. Be revived in the presence of God. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Worship you, O God. Let the grace of the Lord manifest in front of you. Let the grace of the Lord touch you right now. Let the grace of God come upon you. Come on, right to the back. Every man, every woman. The grace of God. The glory of God. Worship the Lord. Let your grace appear right now. I remove in this atmosphere the mantle of works. And I place you in the dimension of grace. And of guilt and shame and condemnation to lift from your life. Let the grace of God come. Let the presence of God come. Let the glory of the Lord once again be manifested. Jesus, you promised us that the same glory your Father has given you, you'll give unto us. I receive that glory right now. In Jesus' name. Let every need that is in this house, financial need, promised us in Philippians chapter 4 that my God, my El Shaddai, my Elohim, my shepherd, shall supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory. Let the riches of glory descend upon business people, upon ministries, upon individuals. Let financial breakthroughs come in the next couple of days like they've never seen before. I release it upon their lives right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Sobra mandele brendro mosheke talama sototo kushataya. Oh, the glory of your presence, O God. Sebre mendolo moshen.